for us?
Yep, we're going to call the meeting to order. If you're in here for energy, if you could please go about your business unless you want to do some bow fishing. Okay, the chair will move House File 2221 to be possibly laid over for the omnibus game and fish bill. Actually, Representative McNamara, you're on the committee, so you can move your own bill.
Well, that'd be fine, but I know you feel strongly about it, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee, and this go ahead with your presentation on the bill, and then I see you have three testifiers and got a whole group of people up in the audience. And
yeah, this bull fishing is pretty popular, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I guess if I could, Mr. Chair, just to get the bill in the shape I'd like, if folks could go to page 2, line 16, I'd like to delete after the word motors the sentence that reads, I'm looking for my glass, no, it says, from sunset to sunrise, a person bull fishing with a gasoline motor must use a four-stroke engine. I'd like to delete that sentence, Mr. Chair, and that was based on the discussion you and I and Commissioner Holson just had in the hallway, too. The confusion, they were referring to quiet generators, which the group wants to have, but the confusion has been that folks think they're referring to the boat motor, and so I think the best thing at this point, Mr. Chair, would be to delete that sentence. So that would get the bill in the shape I would like.
All right. I quickly read it the other day, thought we were talking about having to use a four-stroke motor for the boat when I quickly read it. And so by the amendment you're proposing then leaves in the noise limit, and so that should protect us then as far as the noise is concerned of the generator. So any questions on the amendment? There being none, in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. So now 3351 as amended. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a bill that would allow bull fishing, which is the act of taking rough fish with a bull. And the unique thing about the bull, it's connected with a string and oftentimes a reel. And so they retrieve the fish, and they're mostly carp. And probably the best thing, Mr. Chair, it is something I was a little familiar with. As a young kid, we used to have a lake in our neighborhood that every year was open to promiscuous fishing, so you could shoot any and everything any way you wanted under the sun. And we used to spear them and shoot them with bow and arrows, and it didn't matter what time they were. And this is a little different now. So I think, Mr. Chair, first I'd like to start with Mr. Morrison, and he'd like to give a little bit of background, and I'd let him know how lengthy you'd like discussions to be, so they're prepared to move quickly.
2 minutes each, and please state your name and who you represent when you come up to testify. Welcome, Mr. Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Mark Morrison from Mankato. I've been an avid bull fisherman for about 30 years, and I'm the co-founder of the Land of Lakes Bull Fishing Association, along with Mark Ellenberg and Paul Ziegler. First thing I want to start off with is what we have now. What we have now is we have a very limited season, a night season, which is 90 days long, June, July, and August, where we can harvest rough fish 24 hours a day. But this is only available on 73 lakes throughout the whole state. And what we're seeking is to open up all the date waters that we have during the daytime season, which is May 1st through the end of February, tonight bull fishing. And the reason we want to do that is there's too much congestion right now with these limited 73 lakes. We have the demographics of our club is such that in the southern part of the state we may not have very many members, but we have a lot of members in the central part, like say around the St. Cloud area, and those lakes are basically getting over hunted, and we want to address any problems that we might have by opening it up and alleviating those problems. Now, I don't know if you're familiar, you have some pictures there of the boat, and they, on the front of the boat, you generally have 6 to 8 lights, or 200 to 400 watt halogen lights that are angled down into the water, and that's what we use to identify the fish at night. And actually that makes it a lot easier to identify the fish than during the daytime, because it gives us a lot more time to identify our target, and we can remove a lot greater numbers of invasive fish that way at night than we can during the day. It's exponentially higher. During this trial season that we had, I was fortunate enough, unlike pretty much everybody else in the room here, of having 5 lakes near my home And so out of those 40, or out of those 90 nights, I hunted 40 of the possible nights, and I took out about 3,000 rough fish, or 10 to 15 tons of these rough fish myself. Something that I could have never done during the day, but I had to stop that season short because, as you know, a lot of our lakes turn green. And so the fact that we had a 90-day season really didn't mean that much, because after about those 40 days, the lakes were green, I was done, because the lights won't penetrate the green of the water. So we're asking that we can open it up the same as during the day, and then we can hunt into the fall months when most of our waters are really underutilized, and the water will be obviously much more clear then, and we won't, because the 90 days that we have really doesn't do us any good once the water turns green.
Mr. Morrison, I fully understand your testimony except one thing. I've never heard anyone complain about overfishing of carp until you.
Well, no, and
usually most people want to get rid of the darn things, and now you complain about overfishing them. I'm just giving you a hard time. Because I'd like for you to overfish them in the lake I live on. But nonetheless, any questions of the testifier? Okay, who's up next?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next, Mr. Chair and members, is Mark Allenberg.
Welcome, Mr. Allenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Mark Allenberg. I'm from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. I represent the LLBA, the Land O'Lakes Bow Fishing Association, Bow Fishing Association of America, and Carp Busters. And why we're here today is, for me, is opportunity for people of Minnesota to enjoy a resource and a sport that is underutilized and presents great opportunities for bow fishermen in this state to stay in this state. Unlike the other 48 states around the country, we have a very limited night season, which we want to open up, obviously, and we have a, you know, we have a season on carp in addition to that. Well, we're not trying to change that, but so with this, we will promote bow fishing, hunting in the state, keep the monies in the state, and utilize a resource that's underutilized, carp, for those. And yes, we do take out a bunch of invasive species. And we also have, through the club, events such as Kids Day. Minnesota has the biggest kids bow fishing event in the world, right here in Minnesota, Lionel Lake, Minnesota. And we're limited on that just to day fishing. If we could open that up, we could, you know, triple or quadruple the number of kids we can take out. So, you know, that's part of the reason we want some of this change.
Thank you very much. And any questions of the testifier? Being none, you got another testifier coming up. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. For the record, my name is Brian Petrel. I'm the current president for Land O'Lakes Bow Fishing Association, also a MOHA member. Real quick, these gentlemen have provided a lot of great information. With what we're seeking here comes responsibility, and that's why we've had the self-imposed setbacks and restrictions on generators compared to the current rule change. We believe in responsibility. By opening up the state, we're allowed to pick better locations that aren't less populated, and I think that's important for us to let people know that that's something that's important to us, and we don't want to be disturbance. People have a right to enjoy their properties, and by doing this, it opens up better locations for us to choose our sport. So with that, I will certainly answer any questions, if any available.
Any questions? Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this could be for any of the testifiers or Representative McNamara. I just wanted to wait till you were through with your testimony. I just wondered, you know, it seems like a great idea to find ways to have a few less carp in the lakes, but I see that noise levels have been discussed to some degree. I'm wondering if you can tell us about any conversations you have had with lake residents about light problems. I mean, with halogen lake lights out on the lake, some people might like to be observing a nice dark lake, and perhaps this might be a problem. I don't know. I'd like to know what level of discussions you've had. And also, would this also be with lakes in state parks where campers or people there might be looking at a lake without lights all over it? I would just like to know the level of discussions you've had and what that may have resulted in.
Representative McNamara.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Chair, Representative. Yeah, I think I probably had the most experience last year on the water at night during our trial season, and I had lots of interaction with lake homeowners, lake residents, other sportsmen, and I didn't have any complaints from one person, and 40 nights at an average of between 4 and 6 hours a night is a lot of hours, and we didn't have any calls to the sheriff, police, DNR whatsoever. Probably because we stay to more unimproved areas of the lake. We're not around cabins, lake homes, et cetera. And if we are, we kind of, as club members, we had a self-induced setback. We would stay, you know, X amount of yards or feet away from these structures. And as far as state parks go, it depends on some state parks. You can't have an uncased bowl, firearm, whatever, within so many feet. I'm not exactly sure what that restriction is because I haven't bullfished around a park. But I'm sure that the Department of Natural Resources has a setback for that. So that's my experience there. But really, I haven't had any negative experience whatsoever myself.
Mr. Petzl. Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor. One thing that we do have listed in this bill is a setback requiring 150 feet from an occupied structure and 300 feet from campsites, campgrounds. We felt that it was certainly important to, obviously we want to seek unpopulated areas, but if people were to choose, I guess this gives people the ability to understand that it's important not to be around cabins and whatnot. People are at their properties enjoying the weekend. I agree, they don't want to be bothered by lights and whatnot. These setbacks do provide any chance of real direct light approaching them. And that's just, we felt that these distances, I mean, 150 feet, that's a half of a football field. So, I mean, we're trying to provide that distance between those structures and campgrounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a follow-up. So have there been any discussions with different types of lakes, such as natural environment lake versus GD, general development or recreational development lakes? I'm not sure if that plays into this or not, but some of the uses that people look at with regards to different types of usage of an entire lake, and some of the natural environment lakes might have some different considerations. I just wondered if those had been addressed or if anyone even, you know, was aware of those.
Mr. Representative McNamara.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Taylor, the one thing that most of the lakes and wetlands that these folks like to go to are generally not populated and shallow. They tend to have the best population of the rough fish and the carp. So they tend not to be the kind of the classic cabin lake that you and I may think of that a lot of people boat on. These folks tend to not go to those kind of lakes because they don't tend to have the amount of rough fish that these guys would like to go after.
I'm Representative McNamara. Take a look at line 2.23. It says the noise level under section 86B321 apply to persons traveling to and from a bow hunting site, sunrise to sunset. So, my question is, does current technology for outboards meet those requirements? And I know it says to and from a bow hunting site.
Yes, it's 82.
You follow, see where I'm looking at there? So I'm wondering, just because you're using a big motor, like on my lake, a 200-horse motor to get to or from a bow hunting site, if you'd be breaking the law under this provision. And maybe, I don't know if there's anybody in DNR that can come and tell us the answer to that question or not. But do you follow my line of thinking on that, Mr. Petzl?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, with regards to that that line there, that's referring to what is current law regarding outboard motors. So anybody even in the evening that's walleye fishing or leisurely cruising for an leisurely boat ride, falls on that same statute. I believe it's 82 decibels for what is called a 52-foot test, and then also 84 decibel at a kind of a idle test that they have. So regardless if you're bull fishing or you're walleye fishing or just out for leisurely cruise. Everybody was falling underneath that state statute.
Well, then why, Representative McNamara,
okay,
if there's already something in law that says that a boat has to be meet those requirements, then why are we specifying in this bill that something specifically to bow fishing?
Mr. Chair, I think you got a great suggestion. I guess I would move an oral amendment to delete line 2.23 and line 2.24.
Questions on the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Being none, all in favor say... Oh, Representative Cornish?
I just want to know why we were limited to a four-stroke engine. If we've got a decibel limit, what's the difference, what kind of an engine they use, but...
Well, Representative Cornish, that you may not have been in here when we amended that out as well.
Oh, good.
So we left in the decibel limits, but we took out the four-stroke part up on the...
Sounds good.
Where is that up? That's on the line 2.17 in that area. That was taken out first thing.
Right.
So Representative McNamara renews his motion to orally amend and remove 2.23 and 2.24. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right, and... Mr. Petzl, why don't you tell us who's up in the audience, because we've got this group of people up there.
Mr. Chair, basically what we have here are members of the Land O'Lakes Bull Fishing Association. Do you want the names or just in the general?
No.
Okay. Yeah, there are members from LBA.
Well, thank you very much for coming down and being part of the process. And I had another question. The bill also says the rough fish taken by boat shall not be returned to the water, and rough fish may not be left on the banks of any water of the state. What do you do with the... I mean, I know what we would do with the carp if we were doing them in a Bike, Minnesota, or Ray, Minnesota, or Little Fork, Minnesota. They'd be feeding them to the dog team.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do to them, with them? I know what you do to them. I want to know what you do with them.
Mr. Chair, for me personally, like in the springtime, I prefer to use my smaller fish for smoking. I like to keep them 7 pounds and under. As the summer goes on, the water gets warm, they become a softer flesh. Typically, I like to utilize mine for fertilizer. I've got farmers that like taking the fish and using it for fertilizer purposes. Some members have outlets for like mink farmers and that type of stuff.
All right. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, both you and I have the Mississippi River, and I see we have the provision on with the rivers, both the Mississippi and the Minnesota. And I'm wondering if there's been any experience with the navigation channel. I know that the barge companies are often very protective of the navigation area, and just if you've had any experience or if there's been any communication with them as we open this up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hansen, and maybe if I could ask Mr. Allenberg to reply to that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman and Representative, I do most of my bow fishing on Mississippi, I do it on the Wisconsin side right now. I'm down there, the barges are coming up and down. We navigate with them. They're usually never an issue because you get in the... They can't stop a barge, and you're dumb enough to get in front of them or get in their way. You're going down. In terms of, you know, shining lights on the barges or harassing, I haven't had any problems with that. And the provision was put in there to alleviate some of the problems of overcrowding on the lakes close to Twin Cities and using the resource here right in the Twin Cities for an outlet. And most of the fishing will be done in the backwaters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would expect that maybe Representative McNamara, we just need to touch base because sometimes they have some concerns that pop up, and I think we've discussed that before.
Representative McNamara.
Did you want to hear from the DNR?
Well, I'm going to thank you very much for coming down testifying, and we may need you to come back to answer a question to you, Mr. Petzl, but is there anyone here to testify against the bill? Does anybody want to hear from the DNR on the committee on this bill? All right. Representative McNamara renews his motion to lay the bill over for possible inclusion, and thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.